पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथिताम् पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपः प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्णा खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशवः पाराशर्यवचः सरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानककेसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोके सज्जन षट्पदैरहरः पीपीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजम् कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनः यस्यान्तम् न विदुः सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ This Tuesday, we have Guru Purnima. So I just thought I should remind all of you in case you don't remember or you have not noticed. And in case there are people in Chennai or can, come to Chennai for a day, Swamiji actually has a function on Tuesdays, on Tuesday morning at 6:30 it starts at Narada Gana Sabha, in case you want to join into the Guru Purnima function. And this is a small verse that has been written for actually Swami Paramarthananda. Next week I will maybe put up the words in a much better format so that we can read. And so this is a prayer to my own Guru, and I will start including it after the Guru Parampara prayer. So we will start with today's class. For those of you who are not aware, Guru Purnima signifies the starting of the Chaturmasya Vratam. So most sannyasi gurus are generally stationed in one place during this period, and Parivrajaka sannyasis, the ones who move around also, they will not move during this period. You can see that this is even common amongst other Buddhists and Jain monks. So I guess at some point in time it was a common factor amongst all religious or spiritual leaders, I would say. So let's continue with the fifth chapter. So in the first part of the fifth chapter, Lord Krishna is resolving a doubt in Arjuna's mind regarding the word sannyasa used by Lord Krishna in the previous chapters. And as we saw, there was a communication gap. Lord Krishna was using the word sannyasa in the sense of inner sannyasa, which happens because of the rise of knowledge, right? So a inner sannyasa in which I renounce all the ahankara and mamakara, which are born out of ignorance. And this inner sannyasa does not require us going out of this society. This can be attained through spiritual sadhana, and you can even remain in the grihastashrama and attain internal sannyasa. There is another external sannyasa, which is an alternative way of life in which a person leaves the society and leaves all the worldly and social relationships, renounces all possessions and goes to a guru and exclusively pursues spirituality, which is called sannyasa ashrama or external sannyasa. And the Lord Krishna is not prescribing external sannyasa here to Arjuna, right? Krishna is strongly discouraging the external sannyasa, but at the same time, Lord Krishna wants to say that this external sannyasa as a way of life does exist because that is also prescribed in the Shastra. Therefore, it is a legitimate way of life. But it is an optional way, right? A spiritual seeker has two options. One is living in the society with family and possessions, and another is living outside the society without family and possessions. So these two optional lifestyles are there, and whatever be the lifestyle one chooses, there is no option with regard to the sadhana, right? Whatever be the lifestyle, initially one has to purify the mind by knowing appropriate sadhanas, and later on one has to go through a spiritual education program. Purification of the mind is also required for both, right? So exposing to spiritual educational program is compulsory for both lifestyles, right? And having presented the options with regard to the lifestyle, Lord Krishna says, Arjuna, from your standpoint, I would suggest that grihasthashrama is better than sannyasashrama, because in sannyasashrama there are more risks and the scope for spiritual fall is very, very high. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, right, Sankhya means external sannyasa, yoga means grihasthashrama. Both are equally efficacious. If a person considers one as better than the other, that person does not know, right, that both are equally efficacious. Therefore, you can choose any one of the lifestyle, but remaining in the lifestyle, go through karma yoga sadhana and jnana yoga sadhana in a sequential and systematic manner, right? then both people can attain the one and the same moksha. So grihasthashrami can get moksha through by being in the grihasthashrama itself, and a monk leading a monastic lifestyle also can get moksha. Therefore, Arjuna, you don't be obsessed with running away from your duties, right? When duties are burdensome, everybody wants to run away, right? So they want to take to Kashaya Vastram, right? So he says, no, escapism is not done. You cannot do that, right? And in fact, when you are in a very good position, if you take this decision, it is a different matter. But now you cannot run away from your responsibilities. So we were seeing this, and we had actually entered the fifth shloka, right? Last class. Just one second. So we were in the fifth shloka, we had started this shloka, and almost the same idea of that of the previous shloka that we completed, which was the fourth shloka. Lord Krishna is consolidating the message here, and Sankhya means external sannyasa, or a person who has taken to monastic life. That person is called Sankhya. The word yoga refers to a person who lives in the society with his relationship and family, a grihasthashrami. So sannyasa ashrami is also called a sankhya. Grihasthashrami is called yoga. So Lord Krishna says both can follow spiritual sadhana and both can attain moksha. Therefore, sthanam means ultimate destination of liberation, right? Yath sankhye prapyate, right? Can be attained by sannyasis also. The monks also can attain moksha if they go through the sadhanas properly, right? So the emphasis is more on the sadhana rather than the ashrama itself, right? So a grihasthashrami need not renounce the householder role, his role in the society. He need not leave the city. He need not go to Himalayas, Rishikesh, etc. It is not at all compulsory, right? So ekam sankhyam cha yogam. Right, one of the two of them, right? So Sankhyam and Yogam are two different lifestyles, right? And Ekam means actually both of them are one and the same from the standpoint of the ultimate goal or its validity. So as far as the validity is concerned, both are equally valid, right? Iti yaha pashyati, whoever understands this particular state of mind is the real seer, sahapashyati. He is the one who is seeing. Basically, he has understood the difference between external sannyasa and internal sannyasa. Right? Continuing. Sannyasastu mahabaho. Sannyasastu mahabaho. Dukkamaptuma yogatah. Dukkamaptuma yogatah, yoga yukto munir brahma, yoga yukto munir brahma, nachirenadigacchati. Here Lord Krishna talks about his personal opinion regarding sannyasa ashrama or monastic lifestyle, right? And Lord Krishna says, monastic lifestyle involves a lot of pitfalls. If a person is highly refined and prepared, if a person is constantly guided by a guru, then he can avoid pitfalls because guru is constantly guiding. If a proper support is not there and if the mind is not refined, sannyas ashram can create problems because there are no duties or responsibilities to keep the mind engaged properly. When lot of time is there, an idle mind can become a devil's workshop. So for a sannyasi, there is no one to control also, no other person to restrain. So if the guru's support is not there, the chances of a spiritual downfall is very high. Therefore, it is not that easy to take to monastic lifestyle. So Dayananda Swamiji used to talk about his experience before taking to sannyasa. He went to Uttarakashi and he was with Swami Chinmayananda for some time. Swami Paramarthananda narrates this actually. And at that time, he used to go around and meet several sadhus and sannyasis who don't have proper teaching or proper guidance. somehow due to some ambition or some enthusiasm they and some problem that they faced, they took to sannyasa. And unfortunately, sannyasa ashrama, you cannot try out. There's no trial, no experimental basis, right? So many other things we can try out and then you can take, but there is no provision for temporary sannyasa. So no such opportunity is there. So it is only trapping, and many sannyasis were regretting their choice, I believe, they told him, because Himalaya is a nice place and Ganges is there, snow peaks are there, etc. One day, 2 days, it's fine. After that, there is no variety or change, and then the mind becomes very, very restless. So therefore, when Dayananda Swamiji asked about taking sannyasa, they all discouraged, saying that we have all committed a blunder, you don't do it, right? The ones in Himalaya. So Dayananda Swami said, he liked challenge, and because they were discouraging, he took it as a challenge, right? Because he wanted to see what it was, right? But it was a very big risk because people did advise him this way, right? So never take sannyasa unless there is a guide to constantly lead, right? So here also Shastra talks about two types of sannyasa. One is sannyasa ashrama, which is directly taken after education, without going through grihastha ashrama. From brahmacharya ashrama itself, straight taking sannyasa ashrama is one type of sannyasa, which is prescribed in the Shastra. There is another type where a person goes through brahmacharya ashram, learns the scriptures and spirituality properly, and then enters grihastha ashrama, follows all the grihastha ashrama disciplines, including panchamahayajna, which are only possible in grihastha ashrama. And then the person has an option, after completing all his duties and responsibilities, to take sannyasa from grihastha ashrama. So that sannyasa, right, between these two sannyasas, after grihastha ashrama is better, because a person has gone through life and a person has knows what family life is, what it is to have a wife or a spouse, what it is to have children, what is it to have entertainment, etc. And they know the limitations also. And if at all sannyasa is taken, sannyasa after grihastha ashrama is better. Sannyasa before grihastha ashrama is highly risky if a proper guide is not there. Therefore, Lord Krishna gives a warning here, right? Hey Mahabaho Arjuna. In fact, last class when I was speaking about grihastha jnani and people wanted to know, somebody wrote to me saying that Ramakrishna Paramahamsa is a good example, right? This is true. But in the living examples, I was trying to find someone who was from the living examples, that there are a lot of people you will see when you go to classes, etc. But here what Krishna is saying is, this is Krishna's personal opinion, right? Because the Shastras talk about both kinds of sannyasa. So Krishna is saying that if at all you have to take to sannyasa, take it after grihastha ashrama and after you have completed your duties and responsibilities. And again, there is no compulsion for sannyasa ashrama for moksha. As a grihastha, in grihastha ashrama, through port reduction that we spoke about in last class, and systematic study of the scriptures, one can attain moksha. Shravanam mananam nididhyasanam, right? So, hey Mahabaho Arjuna, sannyasaha, a monastic lifestyle, dukkam aptum, is extremely difficult to follow or resort to. Ayogataha, without going through grihastha ashrama, without going through this ashrama, a human mind will always look for a few wonderful caring relationship where I can claim someone to belonging to me. I want some people to claim me as my own, and I also want to have some people claim me, right, as their own, right? This is a human need, right? So when nobody inquires about how is life, what are you doing, we feel that deep emotional need, companionship, etc. If a person does not grow out of these needs even after sannyasa, right, those needs may still remain in the mind, and when that person sits in meditation, it will not think of Bhagavan, let alone Brahman, but various missed worldly relationships. So Lord Krishna told this in the third chapter, Karmendriyani, right, and I mentally start fantasizing worldly relationship. What I cannot externally do, I start fantasizing internally. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, it's better you go through all the stages, see everything and also see the limitations, right? And then you sort of allow, like the, you know, fruit to ripen automatically and fall, right? When it is ready, right? You also ripen like that, right? So similarly, family life is like a tree and we are all attached to the family. And by that, life ripening has to take place and the mind should grow out of that relationship, right? And in fact, Mrityunjaya mantra is the, exactly that meaning only, right? For the fruit to automatically ripen and fall off from all the attachment, right? A very famous spiritual prayer, right? I think I talked about it in one of the earlier classes also, right? So, sannyasa is extremely difficult, and if at all a person becomes a successful sannyasi without going through grihastashrama, according to Shastra, we say the ripening has taken place in the Purva Janma. Therefore, spiritual prodigies are there, right? Therefore, Arjuna, yoga yuktaha, a person remaining in grihastashrama, gradually he becomes a muni, means a person who is prepared for Vedanta Vichara, fit for Jnana Yoga, Achirenadi Gacchati. He'll be able to attain moksha remaining where he or she is. O Arjuna, sannyasa is difficult to attain without Karma Yoga, but the devout Karma Yogi attains Brahman before long. Continuing, Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma, Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma, Vijitatma Jitendriyah, Vijitatma Jitendriyah, Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma, Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma, Kurvanna Pinalipyate, Kurvanna Pinalipyate. With the previous shloka, Lord Krishna has clarified Arjuna's doubt. Here he has introduced external and internal sannyasa. External sannyasa is optional. And as far as Arjuna is concerned, Lord Krishna discourages external sannyasa and suggests to Arjuna that you please remain in grihasthashrama. And what is the goal of life? Internal sannyasa is the goal of life. And to attain that internal renunciation, remember, which is the renunciation of the ahankara and mamakara, by renouncing self-ignorance. So internal renunciation is renunciation of ahankara and mamakara, right? So that is how, through self-knowledge, you will reach the ultimate goal. And to reach that goal of internal sannyasa, one has to go through several stages, right? The seventh shloka is very important shloka, where Lord Krishna talks about the various stages one has to compulsorily go through even remaining in grihasthashrama. These stages are compulsory. External sannyasa one can avoid, but these stages one cannot avoid, one has to go through. So what are those stages? The first stage is yoga yuktaha. May you resort to karma yoga initially. Even if you are studying the Gita, let the study of Gita continue, but your lifestyle should be Karma Yoga Pradana lifestyle. Exposure to scriptures, but lifestyle should be Karma Yoga Pradana only. So, what is Karma Yoga? It consists of four disciplines, right, that we saw, and we also had a acronym for it called RIDE, if you remember. I thought it is important enough for us to revisit it now. R stands for gradual reduction of adharmic activities and unethical activities, which we all know as unethical. Whatever we know as unethical, right? This is first stage. Second stage is what? I gradually increase the dharmic activities, ethical, moral and religious activities consisting of Pancha Mahayajna. You gradually increase the Pancha Mahayajna. I think you may all remember what Pancha Mahayajna is, but quickly we will just do a recap. So the first one is Deva Yajnaha, regular worship of God, which is compulsory. Pitri Yajnaha, respect the elders, senior citizens in the family, take care of them, never neglect them, take care of the elders when they are alive and when they have departed, whatever duties you have to do, you follow Pitriyajna, the Rishradham, Tarpanam, all of that, depending on your whatever Varna and Ashrama. Brahma Yajna, study of scriptures, sharing the knowledge with others and supporting all institutions which promote scriptural studies, that is called Brahma Yajnaha. Manushya Yajnaha, whatever help you can do to others, offer the help. Every day is made only when I have done something to somebody else. So if I keep that as a rule, right? And even guiding the way, showing, speaking politely, some few kind words, a smile, all of that is Manushya Yajna. And then the last one was Bhuta Yajna. Revere the environment, take care of the environment consisting of the animal kingdom and plant kingdom, right? As well as our environment, taking care of the waste, right? Disposal of waste, all of that comes under Bhuta Yajna. And reverential contribution to the infrastructure which I am making use of, right? This is increase in dharmic activities, right? Consisting of Pancha Maha Yajna. What is the third one? Dedicate all these activities as an offering to the Lord without expecting any worldly benefit of name, fame, awards, etc. Right? Now, Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, right? That's the only expectation we are allowed to have. It is very important, right? So, if at all we are expecting something for doing all this, after dedicating everything as offering to the Lord, we can expect Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. Worldly benefit will come even without asking, but we should not expect that when we are dedicating the offering. No money, recognition, etc. We should not do it with that expectation, right? Except the only exception is the well-being of the world, right? If you want to have a selfish expectation, one particular thing is allowed. What should that be? Spiritual growth. Jnana Vairagya Siddhyartham Viksham Dehi. You can ask for that. That is the only thing that you can ask for in selfish expectation, right? So, O Lord, give me inner growth. That is more important, right? And the peace and happiness don't depend on what I have, right? But what I am. So, this is one important message of the Gita, right? So, if you want to extract just one message from Gita, this is the one. Peace and happiness depends upon not what I have, but what I am, right? That is the internal spiritual growth. So, the fourth one is experiencing the future as it unfolds as my own karma palam, as a prasada coming from the Lord. So, as a prasada, I am not to judge the karma palam, right? Whether it is success or failure. I am bound to react only when I treat it as a success or failure. So, because of this, we will definitely have reduction in the way of, the reaction, the magnitude, FIR reduction, as I spoke about, right? The other acronym that Swamiji talks about, right? So, now, Bhagavan will give the result appropriately and he will make sure that we get the result in accordance with whatever karma phalam, right? So, E stands for Prasada Bhavana. Follow this ride which is called Karma Yoga. This is step one. How long? Vishuddhatma. Until spiritual refinement takes place. Spiritual refinement will take place. How do I know? When there is a refinement of my desires, right? So, now earlier my desire was for Artha and Kama, the first two Purusharthas. Now slowly I will see that Dharma and Moksha are becoming very, very important to me, right? While the entire society is desirous of name, fame, money, status, position, possession, the type of car I have, the type of dress I wear, the type of shoe I wear, you will have all those wonderful things that define the status in the society. Value for these things will become secondary gradually. And suddenly you will see that the spiritual desire, over a period of time, you can see the shift happening. But when you compare with yourself few years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you will see that our spiritual desires have become higher than the worldly desire. So gradually the proportion will start increasing, right? So, for instance, the priorities will change. Like, for instance, on Sunday evenings, we are all able to prioritize and spend this time on Gita, right? That is because our own mental refinement is happening in a way, right? That is what makes us different from the others. Slowly this interest will become more and more, and then we become more committed. Then we want to learn other scriptures. We start getting into it very seriously. Then we start practicing meditation, pranayama, all of this, right? So we are all, as Swamiji says, we all actually go to a place in Adyar and there are a lot of mosquitoes there. So he always encourages us saying, see, your refinement is in this form that you are able to sit in between the mosquitoes and listen to me for 1 hour, right? So that is what Swamiji says. And so jokes apart, this becomes a very, very significant part of our life. So slowly the refinement will happen, right? So a lot of refinement has taken place, but still we need more, right? So the simple desire for scriptural study itself is great punyam, right? Vishuddhatma. Priority for moksha is the refinement, right? Raga dvesha reduction is Vishuddhatma. Then the next one is Vijitatma, right? The third one is Vijitatma. He decides to prepare all the equipments for the pursuit of Jnana Yoga, making my personality Jnana Yoga friendly. Very beautiful way of depicting this. The third step, this is. That is getting my personality Jnana Yoga friendly, right? Mastery over sense organs. Not falling to temptations of the worldly things around us, right? Addiction around the mind, etc., right? Now, good addiction for puja, japa and all is good. But earlier we wouldn't have had that. Now suddenly we want to sit and do some puja in the puja room for half an hour, 1 hour and peacefully do some japa and then, you know, do some meditation, saguna brahma dhyanam or saguna ishvara upasana, etc., right? So gradually the capacity to handle the sense organs, sensory mastery will happen, right? And in the fourth chapter also it was said, right, this is a gradual process and don't be a slave of the sense organs. And when the sense organs ask for something, I should reserve the freedom to say no, right? And I should always have that mastery so that I can say no. And this is very difficult. And the most powerful sense organ is supposed to be the tongue, right? The eating tongue and the talking tongue. Disciplining the eating and talking tongue, both are important, right? So later we will see in the 17th chapter how to talk, when to talk, whom to talk. So many conditions before uttering one word, right? So therefore, vak tapas, tongue discipline, is considered to be a great discipline, right? And when the tongue is mastered, in fact, there is a Tamil saying, right? Na adanginal nalum adangum, which are the other four jnanendriyams, right? The other four karmendriyams, right? They are relatively easier as compared to the tongue. So it is very, very, very important, and it is also for taste as well as for speaking. So karmendriyam and jnanendriyam. So the other four means it is covering both jnanendriyam and karmendriyam, right? So, and then the mind discipline or thought discipline. Various negative thoughts are generated in the mind very often, like hatred, jealousy, anger, etc., right? And we cannot stop their generation in the mind because in the subconscious, all those tendencies are there, but now I am able to note their arrival, right? Now generally what happens, you yourself see, as your mind gets more and more refined, you will see these practical benefits. Earlier, you would have, when you observe, first of all, you wouldn't have observed until you come to Gita class and start, you know, attending and start thinking, you don't even observe. Then when you start observing, what you realize, oh, the damage is done. I already finished doing this. Oh my God, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have talked like this. I shouldn't have had anger. I shouldn't have had hatred. You feel afterwards. But even as the thoughts are arriving, as your mind refines, you will be able to dismiss them. We are not saying that the thoughts can be removed totally initially, the negative thoughts, right? So gradually you will see the change happening. I will even be able to note them at the time of arrival, right? So these are all thought management. Then it will become very conducive for Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. If I'm sitting in a Vedanta class for 1 hour, all the 60 minutes, the mind will be available for absorption because it is a very subtle and abstract topic, right? Initially, after 15 minutes, you might start switching off or your mind might go for a walk and come back, right? All this will happen, right? Very, very important. So, as your mind gets refined, the entire 60 minutes is available for us to actually grasp the teaching. More importantly, in Shravanam, you are only listening to your guru, right? Whatever the guru is telling. In Mananam, you are going to go and think about what you listened and you are going to convince your mind in private. And the mind is going to debate certain aspects and you are going to go and convince the mind by feeling that conviction should be there from whatever you have learned, right? So, the mind has to be absolutely free and ready for this, right? So, by slowly doing yoga, then doing pranayama, etc., we will be able to do meditation also and slowly refine the mind, right? So, vijitatma jitendriyaha is the gradual sense mastery and thought mastery, right? Then, sarva bhutatma bhutatma, right? So, exposure to the Vedantic teaching should gradually start increasing and others can be gradually reduced slowly. For instance, initially you will say, okay, one day if you don't listen, it's fine. But then after that, it will become your prime, you know, motivation in your life that you will not leave that 1 hour under any circumstance, right? And I can tell you, as you go through the journey, you will actually see this happening. And slowly, you know, initially when some random guests come, you will be willing to say hello and sit during that 1 hour. After some time, I can tell you that your life and your everything will revolve that you will say, oh, 6 to 7 or 8:30 to 9:30, I have Gita class, I have to listen to this. This is my priority. We ourselves gradually change. And if we have to go for a wedding, go only after that or before that. Slowly, all those will start changing. That means the priority in life starts shifting, right? So basically, we have to go through these stages gradually and then we will be able to spend more time in Shravanam, Mananam. And as Swamiji says, we also age in the process and we have our own batterings, the life batterings, etc., because of which we also mature a lot and our mind also turns towards the teaching, right? So, in the second chapter itself, Krishna spoke about the entire Vedantic teaching, right? So, what are we doing? All these steps are for finally gaining the Vedantic knowledge, right? So, what is the Vedantic teaching Lord Krishna gave? I am not the body. I am not the sense organs. I am not the mind. They are only mediums through which I operate, or they are instruments like my spectacles. I operate during the waking state and in deep sleep state, I don't operate them. Still, I am there. Even in the deep sleep state, I am not operating my, karmendriyas, jnanendriyas, but I am still there. Then who am I? I am the consciousness principle, right? So, what are the 5 features of consciousness, right? By now, we must remember them by heart. Consciousness is not a part, product or property of the body. Consciousness is an independent principle which pervades and enlivens the material body. Right? Consciousness is not limited by the boundaries of the body. Consciousness survives even after the disintegration of the body, the fall of the body. The surviving consciousness is not available for transaction because there is no medium of transaction, and that consciousness principle I am. I should ask myself, am I convinced about this? Right? I should ask. In Mananam, that's what I do. And then I see why is it I'm not? And then I start answering. Now, as I said, there are a lot of texts like Prakarana Granthas. Then we have Upanishads, then we have Brahma Sutra. So, when we go through a systematic study of all of these, all our doubts get resolved gradually, right? So, in the second chapter, Lord Krishna gave us 7 descriptions of the Atma. If you remember, Atma Nityaha, right? Atma Satyaha, Atma Akarta, Abhokta, Aprameya. It is not an object of experience, right? Abhokta is not an experience. Rakarta, not a doer. Aprameya is not an object of experience. It is myself, the experiencer, subject, right? And Atma Sarvagataha, it is all pervading, the seven descriptions of the Atma, right? So I ask myself, am I convinced? If I am not convinced, I should ask the question, why, right? I should not blindly follow until conviction comes. I keep doing this churning activity. I try to find the answers, and ultimately by going through Shravanam and Mananam, this person is convinced. I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am not the sense organs, I am not a karta, I am not a bhokta. I am the all-pervading consciousness, and the nature of consciousness is, it is ever free. Muktaha, right? And I need not get moksha. We will realize that at one time. We start with moksha as a purushartha, something to be attained, right? Liberation as something to be maintained, attained. Then we say, I need not actually get moksha. Moksha is my very nature. Thus I am nitya muktaha atma. Nitya muktaha atma aham asmi. So I have to finally arrive at that, right? So that is what is said here as sarva bhutatma bhutatma, which is the fourth step here. As per this verse. So second line, sarva bhutatma bhutatma, shravanam and mananam, and jnana yoga, and shravanam is consistent and systematic study of Vedantic scriptures for a length of time under the guidance of a competent acharya. This spiritual educational program is jnana yoga, and in this shravanam, I play only a passive role because the guru is teaching. So it's a passive role. I am only an active listener. Whereas in Mananam, it is a job to be done by me. I take the essential teaching of the Vedanta and ask myself, am I convinced by this? And the intellect must say, I am convinced. This is not the view of the Upanishad, right? This is not the view of my Acharya. It is a fact. I am convinced. And if the intellect says I am not convinced, I should ask why. And let the intellect raise questions or raise objections. My own intellect must be able to answer these objections, or I study more, or I discuss with other enlightened people, or discuss with my guru, right? Until I can accept the three fundamental messages of Vedanta. What is it? Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya, Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha. In simple language, I am in the world, right? The world is in me. I can never be affected by any event in the world, right? So, if you remember again, we talked about the five capsules of Vedanta, right? Not the five features of consciousness. The five capsules of Vedanta, just for your benefit, I'm repeating it here. I am of the nature of eternal and all-pervading consciousness. I am the only source of permanent peace, security, and happiness. By my mere presence, I give life to the body, material body, and through that material body, I experience the material universe, right? By my mere presence, I give life to the material body, right? What is the fourth message? I am never affected by any event that takes place either in the material world or in the material body. And the fifth capsule is, by forgetting my real nature, I convert life into a burden. By remembering my real nature, I convert life into a blessing. These are the five capsules of Vedanta, and it is meant for regular consumption. Now, this is in English, very simple, five capsules of Vedanta. If you actually see, it's the same thing that we see in Pratasmaranam and in all the core messages of the Upanishads, Gita, etc., cover just this. Swamiji has put it into a neat way like this, right? So these are the five capsules of Vedanta, right? So this is the prescription, right? For what? For the Bhavaroga or Samsara Rogaha, right? So the Vaidyanatha Ishwara of Vaidishwaran Kovil actually handles Bhavaroga. We go for materialistic illnesses, etc. But this is the Bhavaroga Nivaranam is the five capsules of Vedanta, right? And we should keep reminding us as often as we need. And Shankaracharya says in Viveka Chudamani that look for everything else, for Archana, etc. You can use proxies, you can ask somebody to do it. For this, you cannot ask another priest to do it or someone else to do it. It is your own self that has to go through this essential experience, learn and actually assimilate the teaching, right? So, I have to discover this fact that I am not an ahankara, I am not the individual in the world, but I am the Atma, I am the Atma Tattvam, which is same in all the people. Although the bodies are different, the minds are different, our karmas are different, but Atma, the consciousness, is one and the same in all. And this discovery is called Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma, right? And rest of the life, he has to practice Nididhyasanam after Shravanam and Mananam. Why? Because changing the previous habitual notion, right? And claiming that I am the consciousness takes some time. The shifting takes time, right? So, I am in the world is a habitual notion. And what is the Vedantic vision? Right? Vedantic vision is, I am not in the world. The world is in me, the Atma. Having gained this knowledge, practicing this for the rest of the life until this becomes the new habit and natural to me, right? That is the journey. So, such a person, kurvan napi na lipyate, after changing this vision, the jnani continues in the world of activity, but he is not attached to any karma since he does not have karma abhimana. So, he is not affected by either punyam or papam. Therefore, kurvan napi, even though the jnani continues to be active in the world, he does not have any selfish action. So, in fact, his life is meant for the benefit of the entire world only. Because the selfishness is erased from him, therefore the action will not produce any agami punyam or agami papam. Therefore, na lipyate, he is not affected by the karma. Continuing, naiva kinchit karomiti, naiva kinchit karomiti, yukto manyeta tattvavit, yukto manyeta tattvavit, pashyan shunvan prishan jigran, pashyan shunvan prishan jigran, ashnan gachan swapanshvasan, ashnan gachan swapanshvasan, pralapan visujan grinnan, pralapan visujan grinnan, unmishan nimishannapi, unmishan nimishannapi, indriyani indriyarteshu, indriyani indriyarteshu, vartanta iti dharayan, vartanta iti dharayan. So there are a lot of verbs here which are participles actually. We will see that. That is why you have to split and tell that, and both the verses are normally dealt with together, right? Verse 8 and 9 both together form one message, and in these two verses Lord Krishna is talking about a senior spiritual seeker who is in the last lap of Jnana Yoga, right? By a senior seeker or a spiritual student, what we mean is a person who has practiced Karma Yoga for a length of time and a person who has gone through Shravanam and Mananam for a length of time. A minimum of 10 years, right? For a considerable length of time, when we say it's a minimum of 10 years, and of course it depends on how much time you have spent during those 10 years, right? And Karma Yoga Shravanam and Mananam, you must have gone through seriously, not a casual approach, right? Now, just as they talk about an amateur and professional, right? There is a lot of difference, right? Now, you cannot be a cat on the wall. You have to be a serious spiritual student for all these years. And I should be sincere and serious if I want the benefit of moksha. If I seek only casual benefit here, then the casual approach will do, right? Benefit will come for casual approach also. Definitely our Shastra promises that. But if my aim is moksha in this Janma, then I have to be serious. Having practiced serious karma yoga and shravana mananam for a length of time, then he becomes a senior seeker and he is in the last lap of nididhyasanam. In this nididhyasanam, what does he practice? The practice of senior student is talked about here, right? This is not for the junior student. So Lord Krishna will talk about karma yoga again later. But what does this senior seeker do? Tattva vitta, right? The first line of the 8th shloka. The senior student who has gone through karma yoga, shravanam and mananam for a length of time, manyeta, should start claiming his higher atma nature as I am. Instead of saying I am an individual and I have an atma within me, which atma is external, all pervading, instead of saying so, right, he should learn to practice claiming I am the atma. I should learn to look at the body-mind complex as ahankara, which is a temporary vesha, which ahankara we have changed from janma to janma. In the last janma, we did not have this body, right? We had some other body, right? And as Swamiji says, thank God we don't remember, right? Because he says if the husband and wife remember that they were cat and rat in the previous janma, they would have a serious problem, right? So thankfully none of us remember the previous janma, so it is much better. Yes, there are few cases getting reported saying that they can remember the previous janma, etc. I am also a person who is very interested in reading up these kind of stories because it corroborates with all of this, right? But best is to not know about your previous janma, right? So the body-mind complex which we call ahankara is a vesham, right? So even sukshma shariram will change after pralayam, right? The sukshma shariram is specially built for every pralayam, but again it will get resolved into karana shariram at the time of pralayam, right? So he should learn to look at the body-mind complex ahankara as a vesham, right? I am not the ahankara, I am the atma, and where am I located? I am in and through all the bodies. This he has to practice. Therefore, tattvavita manyeta. Let him practice this seriously. He need not tell this outside, right? We don't say I am the nature of eternal, all-pervading consciousness, etc. No, we don't talk about it outside, right? Because as an actor on the stage, you are supposed to do your roles, right? If you have to go buy a ticket, or you are traveling abroad, you have to show your passport, you have to talk about your name, etc., right? So it is just the internal thinking. I must remember that this whole thing is a big drama and ahankara is a vesham. So I am the eternal, all-pervading atma. This must be the thought pattern of whom? The senior seeker, right? So manyeta uktaha means always remembering the guru's teaching. Remembering the Vedantic teaching, that must be always accessible to this person, readily retrievable, right? Like your random access memory, right, in the computer, right? It should be readily accessible. And what should he think? Aham naiva kinchit karomi. In reality, I am not a performer of any good or evil. I don't perform any action, whereas ahankara in this drama called life is performing all the actions. Naiva kinchit karomi. He should remember this truth when, not only when there is free time he should recollect, but whenever he is doing anything, he should remember this, right? Instead of worrying, convert all worrying time into Vedanta recollection time. Once I repeatedly dwell on it, it is always available in the background like the Tambura Shruti. Just as a musician always keeps that in one corner of the mind, you will never lose sight of this Shruti, right? Similarly, the senior student, whatever activity he is involved in the most provoking situation, in the corner of the mind, he should try to remember the teaching. What is that? Events in the life are unpredictable and many of the events of life are uncontrollable, right? So even when he has favorable situations, it is not sustainable all the time. Then also he remembers, right? I am the contaminable atma. This he remembers, right? Therefore, pashyan, even when his eyes are seeing this world, shunman, when his ears are involved in hearing all kinds of things, right? Sometimes people praise you, sometimes they find fault with you, right? Then, sprishan, right? Organ of touch goes through varieties of experience. Jigran, smelling all kinds of things, right? That is all in and through all of these, right? So something happens in the next door, somebody is cooking, you will smell that in the house, you will smell, right? That is jigran, during smelling also, right? So pashyan, shunvan, sprishan, jigran, right? And then ashnan, right? And ashnan is eating, whenever you are eating also, whatever is available, you eat. During that also, you remember, right, that you are the Atma. Gachan, when you are moving. Swapan means reclining. Swashan, sleep, go in bed reading. Next is Pralapan in the next shloka, talking. Visrijan, evacuating, removing the water from the body. Then Grihnan, right, means taking things, handling things. Then Unmishan, Nimishan, closing and opening the eyes, right? If you study the list very carefully, Lord Krishna has enumerated the activities of the 10 sense organs beautifully, right? 5 sense organs of knowledge, eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin, they are engaged in experiencing or knowing. And then we've got the 5 karmendriyas, vak, pani, right? Then the organ of handling pani, pada, the organ of locomotion or moving, payu, the organ of excretion, upastha, the organ of reproduction. So all 5 sense organs of experiences and actions will have to be constantly active in this world, and they will give us what? Varieties of experiences, and we don't have total control over our experiences because life is controlled by our free will as well as the law of karma, right? So it is neither totally controlled by law of karma nor free will, right? So putting together will decide the life. That means I don't have total control, and a senior Vedantic student understands what, right? Life, he understands this, and life has got choiceless situations, as it will have choiceless and situations where we can influence. So Lord Krishna told this in the second chapter, right? In apaharyam, meaning choiceless. Arjuna is in the battlefield, and we all have choiceless situations. Even a Mahajnani has to go through choiceless situations. The only difference is a Jnani accepts that. He openly tells, I am willing to go through that without resistance. And this willingness is born out of wisdom, and it reduces the impact of the pain. Right? He understands life, that life will have choiceless situations. It is integral part of the life. Right? Rama and Krishna also had lot of choiceless situations. They went through a lot, right? So, and he was in fact born in the prison, right? And it was decided by Kamsa, and he had so much control, right, at that time. So, Krishna gives one message, which is learn to smile in and through all the situations. In fact, if there is one benefit of Vedanta, it is this smiling in and through situations. Therefore, in and through all the situations, what does he remember? Indriyani indriyarteshu vartante. Indriyani means the material body, mind, sense organs, right? The material world, right? Will always interact, producing both pleasurable as well as painful experiences. Nobody can stop it, right? What does he say? I am neither the material body, mind, nor am I the material world. And I am Atma, the witness, non-material consciousness, right? And he is able to see the whole thing with objectivity, right? There is an internal distance from the event, which gives him mental relaxation, right? So, the worst form of karma also he knows will pass away, because every karma is limited, right? Thereby, every karma phalam is also limited. Very wise learning that we get from this, right? Therefore, every karma phalam has a date of departure and a date of arrival. So, even the worst disease, right? Very, very, very profound statement. Even the worst disease will have a departure. Either the body will go or the disease will go. One of the two will happen, right? So, distancing allows him to go through all of that, right? So, Lord Krishna says, Indriyanindriyarteshu vartanta iti dharayan. Remembering this in the mind in a detached manner, he goes through the situations, but he never shirks from his duties. Because as long as I have a particular vesham, I have to fulfill the duties of the vesham in Tamil, the role, right? Vesham is role in Tamil. So there is a saying, right, that we have to, if we have to do, you have to put on a vesham, we have to do everything according to the vesham correctly, discharging the duties, right? But I learn to remain aloof internally, right? This is the practice not of junior students but of senior students. So the final meaning of this shloka is, two shlokas, even while seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving, reclining, breathing, the Lord, basically talking, evacuating, receiving, opening the eye and closing the eye, the disciplined knower of truth understands I do not do anything at all, bearing in mind that sense organs remain in sense objects. This is the final meaning. So in, there are a lot of this Pashyan Shunvan, if there are any Sanskrit students here, they're all Kshatri. So one after the other, you have all the verbs here, right? So we'll stop here. Purnamadha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Let me just see if there are any questions. And please note that on 11th August, we will not be having a class. And I'm just seeing if there are any questions. One second. What about Janaka? Can we consider him to be a sannyasi king? Yeah, he was a grihastha jnani. And somebody asked me specifically saying, you always giving examples of people in the mythology or epics, or give us some example of the current people. So in response to that, I was saying that you can actually see people in the classes where there are senior students. You can make out that they are grihastha jnanis, I said. So, Kashmiri Shaivism talks about Paravak, Pashyanti, etc. Does what we think and speak also come out of karmic impulse or a mix of... Yeah, everywhere there is a free will, right? So, wherever there is, whether it is speaking or whether you are acting, there is free will which you are supposed to use to filter your talk, which is what Krishna is going to speak about in chapter 17, right? I get affected by people and situations. What to do? Gradually, when you go through Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam, and more so when we start practicing meditation or even repeated Shravanam, you can start feeling that your impact or response to people and situations gradually starts coming down. You will actually start feeling it, right? So it takes a while, but it requires consistent study also. Oh, one typo in 5 capsules of Vedanta. Correct. I will definitely correct it. Thank you so much before I put it up. Many a times I cannot accept conflict or unpleasant situations. Now it is my boss, so I keep struggling. What do you advise? Yeah. See, it is, it does happen, right? So only with this teaching and constant a practice of some of these meditation techniques, etc., you can actually reduce the stress and reduce your reaction. You may not be able to change the situation completely because you may not be able to change the job or your boss. It is only how you respond to the situation and how you take it that you will be able to start, reflecting and changing once you go through the teaching, right? Not only teaching, you have to in parallel start japa, upasana, pranayama, etc. Right? It is very important. Let me see if there are anybody who's raised their hands here. No. Any questions here?
The action through the free will. Huh. Is that the reason for creating further papa?
Action through the? Yes, action through the free will and through the 10 sense organs, directed via the sense organs to the external world, because the karmendriya and jnanendriya are the ones that allow you to interact with the world. They are the reason for us to acquire fresh papam and punyam, referred to as agami punyam and agami papam. That is how it works. So when the law of karma works is, there is a prarabdha karma that you are exhausting. You are acquiring fresh papa punya through agami karma and agami punya and agami papa. Then at the end of the life, all of this, whatever is unexhausted from both, prarabdha will get exhausted. Agami, punyam and papam, some get exhausted in the same janma. So whatever is left over will go to Sanchita, and fresh whatever gets mature for the next janma comes out as prarabdha karma for the next janma. This is how it works. Yeah, that is why it is important to exercise the free will properly, because free will is available only in human janma, not in any of the other plant or animal janmas. There you are only exhausting your prarabdha. So the acquiring of prarabdha, acquiring of karma is only in human janma. Okay? So any other questions from anybody else? I think there is somebody who has raised their hand. Mohana?
Namaskar. Just a comment, because today you mentioned about the class and how it becomes so important. Just at the beginning of today's class, my friend drove in for an hour, but I signaled her I'm in a class, okay? And she got angry and she just drove off.
I know, it takes a while for people to relate to.
No, but I have told everybody, please, I have 1 hour class, leave me be, you know. That's why I'm just saying, because she is just
I know. No, here, in fact, people are wondering what you're saying. She says that as she started the class, somebody drove in. And she showed her hand saying that she's in a class and she's not going to come out. And she drove away. So I was saying, over a period of time, people start understanding that 1 hour they are very serious about it and that they will not be coming out. But it takes a while, and I think the satsanga helps a lot, because then you know you start relating these experiences with each other, and you know it's very interesting to share these. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very hard for our children to understand, you know, why we give this important, this modern kids, okay?
Correct. Yeah, it takes a while, yeah. Anybody else?
Thank you.
Has anything else? Okay, I think I don't see any more hands raised. Let me just check the questions once. No, there is nothing else, huh? Okay then, so we will meet next week. Hari Om.